So here's a question. Can foster care and embryo adoption go together? Even foster adoption and embryo adoption, can they go together? We're going to meet a couple now who's going to tell you that, yes, it is possible. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger, and this is the Embryo Adoption Podcast. And my guests are Jason and Jen Mariano, one of our great NEDC embryo adoption families. So good to have you two with me for this edition. I want to start by having you describe your foster care journey. It's a great one and a pretty involved one.
Yeah, we've been at it for a little while now. So we've had 6 foster children. We're on number 6 right now. We've adopted 3 of the 6. This number 6 has not reached a conclusion of his case yet. So, but yeah, we've the 3 that we adopted were a sibling group, and they're all from the local area around here where we're from. But yeah, it's I think what led us into it was we struggled a long time with infertility. And also, I think the Lord just sort of put it on our hearts that we wanted to care for children in need of care. And so the 2 things sort of came together at the same time. And it's been one of the better things we've done with our lives, I think. So
I know how big a deal foster care can be, because my own dad was a foster child who was raised in a terrific family for the better part of 10 years. He was not able to actually become adopted by them because his maternal grandmother did place a claim on him and took him when he was a teenager. But I don't know if you would have the same Christian heritage had he not wound up with this foster family. And I know this springs not only just from wanting to do things from altruistic motives, but from your Christian faith, right?
Well, for sure. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. I mean, it's very clear the Lord cares for orphans, and he calls us to do that. So, and it is, Jason said that we got into it initially, if there are kids who need to be adopted through it, we are open. But I think we've also grown and developed, and also seeing how it can be a ministry to the families as well. Our current kiddo, we actually have a decent relationship with his mom, and just being able to minister to her as well, and to see, just that she's been dealt a pretty rough hand, and that we can show Christ to her, just being kind and loving and respect her as, our little guy's mom, and, show her the dignity with that. So, yeah, and it all stems from, Christ loving us when we don't deserve it. And, but it's been, like Jason said, one of the better things we've done. I was terrified to do it. It was him who mostly kind of was the leading force with it. And not that he forced me into it, but I was, like I said, terrified. And then as we kept taking steps of faith, the Lord just really blessed it. And it's, I am a different person because of foster care. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, God calls himself the father of the fatherless. And I think that one of the better ways that we can reflect who God is in our lives is to be a father and a mother to a father and motherless child.
Especially when you know there is some sense of sacrifice here, because the goal of the foster care system is always optimally to reunite the child or children with their birth family. I think that is a misnomer that a lot of couples don't necessarily realize when they're, maybe they run into infertility and they are going over their possible options for parenthood, and they may think, okay, there's adoption, there's domestic adoption, there's international adoption, there's foster care adoption. And yes, you can adopt through the foster care system. You two are proof of that. But the first goal of the foster care system is always reunification, which I would think in a case like yours, what you two had to do was just sort of hold your breath, know that you would love to adopt, you'd love to have these children as your own, yet you want what is best for the children, and you want to play within the rules. And if it's going back to the family of origin, then you need to be content with that. I can't imagine how hard that would be. Can you unpack how you sifted through that as you undertook this journey?
Well, I mean, I think you always learn best through experience, I think. And so, you know, our first foster child was one of the ones who went back home. That hit us very hard because, you know, we loved him and we cared about him. And you know, if the only thing that mattered in life was that we got what we wanted, then he would have been adopted by us. But the fact of the matter is that the Lord teaches us that we come last, that the people that we serve come first. And so sometimes, I mean, we can know that intellectually, but you don't feel that, you know what I mean? And sometimes you just have to trust that what God says is the right thing. And so we, you know, I try to keep the mindset, I think we all try to keep the mindset in our family, and I include our children in that, of our days are in the Lord's hands, and what happens is not out of his control. So what is the task that's in front of us? Well, we have a child who needs a home. They need a mom and a dad. They need brothers and sisters. They need a regular routine. They need care through their trauma. And they need, you know, food on the table, whatever it may be. And so that's our task. It's not our task to make ourselves happy. It's not our task to get everything we want. Not to say that we don't have desires or that we don't want things, but it's our task to care for the children that God places in our home. So
I love it. Self-sacrifice is the heart of the gospel. There's just no doubt about this. And you're, by the way, I just want to say, I totally asked you guys to do this podcast. You're not holding yourselves out there as martyrs. What you're saying is you want to open people's eyes to both these possibilities through your situation and say, these are good things, being a foster parent, even if you never get to adopt the various children who are in your home. It's okay, because you're glorifying God by serving this child, by meeting his or her needs there in the moment. And while that can be emotionally hard for you as people who want children in the home, you never go wrong. There's never a lack of fulfillment in doing what the Lord wants you to do. So I commend you, even though you wouldn't want me to, for your self-sacrifice. I remember when we met while you were here at the NEDC for your initial appointment, how that really struck me. And I thought, well, I'd love to do an interview with them sometime. So let me ask you this. I mean, you had all this going on, and you've been fostering for a long time, continue to. How did embryo adoption then get your attention, and why was it something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, I was going to say that's my territory. I mean, all the while we really were trying for biological children, and, you know, I've just always wanted to experience being pregnant and feeling the baby kick and do all that stuff. So I think like personal history wise, we found out why we couldn't have biological children. And so, but I was still able to carry. I still have, you know, those abilities. And so, you know, we had talked about it, and, you know, going in line with caring for orphans, you know, we believe that there at NEDC are all these little humans frozen in time. And so we felt like it was a beautiful match of our heart for orphans and for my desire to experience pregnancy and carry a child. And, you know, and also even Jason touched on trauma and just with our children, and, you know, not that we won't help our son. We found out it's a baby boy. We won't help our son through, you know, there's still the complexities of adoption, that he's not with his genetic family. You know, there, I will have that bonding from the very beginning, and that there won't even be that maternal separation. So that was very appealing to me as well. I mean, you know, we said goodbye to a little guy that we had,
Over a year.
Well, about 11 months. And that was, I mean, that was the first one that we really had with our three kids who loved on him and cared for him. And so we were all just very sad and devastated and not devastated, just sad, because it was a good thing that he went home. And his father worked very, very hard to get him back. But with, you know, with embryo adoption, I even was thinking about our kiddos. I mean, they were wonderful with him. They were great. And so to even be able to give them the gift of a sibling that they don't have to say goodbye to. I mean, the Lord obviously is, there's a whole bunch of things you don't know what could happen, but that's, you know, this kiddo's sticking with me. So this little boy. So yeah, that was kind of in a nutshell, our desire to pursue this.
I was just going to ask, and we're recording this, by the way, you know, in early July of 2022, how is your pregnancy going? I mean, it was such good news when we all learned the good results. Talk about how it's been and how far along you are.
Yeah, I'm very thankful. I was terrified that my head would be stuck in the toilet the entire time because I've got three other kids to take care of, plus, well, four with our little guy, who's our foster. So I just prayed. I was like, Lord, please, please don't let me be so sick. So, I mean, I had the typical like fatigue and nausea in the first trimester, but I wasn't throwing up by any, and you know, he definitely took the slack in the evenings where I was like, okay, I'm going to bed. I'm very thankful that Jason is a good teammate and partner. And yeah, and so once I hit second trimester, I'm feeling good, getting big, bigger, but I'm starting to feel him kick and everything. And we had our anatomy ultrasound and he looks great.
Yeah.
So I'm so thankful. It just feels, oh, I'm gonna get emotional. It feels like everything has been a gift. We have wanted this for so long. And I knew, I was like, Lord, okay, I know this can go in a terrible direction. I know we can have our heart broken with this too. But he's just been merciful to me. And it's been good. So I'm 21 weeks and 3 or 4 days along.
So due late November, early December, if I'm doing the math right.
Early November.
Early mid-November.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm doing the math wrong. There's the non-engineer coming out at me again. Don't try to do math on the fly, folks. If you're not a math person, and I'm clearly not. Well, that's really exciting. It reminds me how old all the other kids in your house currently are. The other four.
Well, our daughter is 10, and she'll be 11 next month. Our middle son is 8, and then our youngest son is 5. He'll be 6 next month as well. The two have a birthday within a week of each other. And then our foster baby is 17 months, 16 months.
So were you ever worried that you wouldn't be able, and I know you've had so many kids in your home at once, but there has been the pregnancy aspect involved. Were you ever worried that you wouldn't be able to handle both? And what would you say to other folks who might have that concern? Maybe their story doesn't look exactly like yours, but there are some similarities and they're not sure that they can handle embryo adoption.
Well, I think that I think it's worth a try for the sake of the babies that need a mom and a dad and need to be adopted as embryos, for one. That's the first thing I would say. And the second thing I would say is that if you want to have a baby in this way, which I hope many people will, it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's just like having a baby naturally or anything along those lines, but it was not as troublesome and burdensome and all these things as I guess I anticipated it would be, even so much like the fundraising and whatnot that we did in order to be able to afford it. It really wasn't that bad. And I think what that is, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of very good people at NEDC who work very hard to make the process as easy as they can, for sure. But ultimately, I think it's the Lord's doing it, that if he wants this to happen, it's going to happen. And so, I mean, I think it's a really, really good thing. So I would say for, I mean, look, we did not anticipate having a foster child in the middle of this process. I mean, they called us up and said, you got to take him, you know, and we're out of places for him to go. We need him to go. So we took him in, you know, cause, and then they told us, oh, it'll only be a month or two. And it's been a lot longer than that. So, but yeah, so it's been very much, you know, so I think that the Lord can provide ways for us to be able to do things that we don't think that we're able to do, mm-hmm. especially if he wants them to happen.
I don't want to keep you guys too long because, I know you have a bunch of young kids in the house. You're going to have to get them to bed and everything, but a couple of things. Well, one thing you've spelled this out a little bit already, but if you want to unpack it a little more, I think it'd be great. What were some of the similar ways that both embryo adoption and foster care / foster adoption spoke to your hearts? What I'm hearing a lot, and I think that's the main reason that we're here, is the concern for the most vulnerable. Am I right?
Yeah, that's definitely top of the list, was concern for vulnerable people, particularly children. I think that at least on my end of things, it was, look, I grew up in going to church every Sunday and whatnot. I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. And then I started going to evangelical churches, Baptist churches, that sort of thing, after I got saved. And I would listen to missionaries talk in the pulpit about their mission group, and they would talk with such passion about these people in this place or this country in that corner of the world or whatever. And I would understand that their hearts were moved and that they were very emotional about it, but I never really understood it. I was just never called to missions, you know what I mean? And I just was, okay, well, that's their thing. And then I found out about foster children, and I suddenly understood what they meant, you know what I mean? And so it's almost kind of hard to explain, but it was just in the same way that I think a missionary's heart is broken for people somewhere in the world who don't yet know the gospel, who don't yet know Christ, or don't have enough people to teach them the Bible or whatever it may be that motivates them. It was almost in a sense like the same thing had happened to me personally in that. And on top of that, I just think that like this is a good thing for us to do as Christians, and not just our family, but for us to do as Christians, and that we are undoubtedly in Scripture called to love and good works, and not that those things save us or earn us favor with God. We don't believe that, but we certainly believe that because we are saved, because Christ has redeemed us, then we are called not to sit idly by and just contemplate theology all day long. We're actually called to get to work and to do things. The New Testament especially envisions a dynamic, active church that is involved in doing things that God loves and God wants us to do. And one of those things, it's not the only thing, but one of those things is orphans. And so at the heart of this, it is caring for people like that. And of course, now, having gotten into it, we both learned that it's more than just the children, at least with foster care. And we're learning that with NEBC as well, with embryo adoption as well. It's more than just the children. You get a connection with the birth families and the people who, like people like yourself, Mark, and you know, and all that. And so there's this whole like kind of dynamic network in place, and we get to be a part of that, and we get to minister to others through that. And I think that that's a life that I personally, I mean, we personally want to live, you know, and we want to be a part of. So it gets us excited in the morning, you know what I mean?
Well, hey, that's how the church turned the world upside down when it was first starting out. You're right. And the more we can do that, not only is it the right thing to do, but it is a joy to the degree that we're able to live it out. Jen, anything you'd add to that?
So just with asking how embryo adoption and foster care are kind of connected. I don't know. I think he said a lot of good things. I don't know. He said most of
it. You're totally allowed to defer, and it's not a problem at all. I know you guys have the same heart. So what does the future look like for you two in terms of adoption?
Oh gosh, we're kind of in the middle of discussing that and what our future looks like for foster care, at the very least. We're not sure yet. We're committed to our current foster child to see his case through to the end, whatever that may mean, and we're going to be supportive of it, whatever that may mean. And of course, we're all rejoicing over the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which is a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you, as much as it is a wonderful thing, it is. There's nothing wrong with it. It is going to mean that there are going to be more unwanted children in the system. And so we're currently trying to evaluate, what is our role in that? What does that mean for us? We already do have five. Well, you know, once the baby's born, you know, we'll have five. So it's, I don't know. We're still praying through that, but.
Yeah, we're feeling a bit at max capacity. but I'm blessed that I'm able to be home with the kids and everything. But I think if not directly fostering children, I think I have developed more of a heart for the birth families. You know, my priority is my kids, but if it gets to a point where they're all in school or whatever, you know, the Lord has blessed me so much. I mean, I didn't ask for good parents. I didn't ask for I wanted a good husband, but like he blessed me with that. And like, you know, even our little guy's mom, my heart just breaks for her. And so I think there's, you know, and this kind of ties in with the Roe v. Wade stuff. There's a lot of scared moms out there who, you know, the easy thing may be to terminate their pregnancy because they don't feel capable or they don't feel trained or they don't feel support. So I would hope that the Lord would open doors in that way, you know, through whatever. I don't know. I really don't know how it's going to work, but I didn't think I would be doing foster care. I didn't think I would be living this life that I'm living. I didn't think I would do embryo adoption. So I trust the Lord will lead us where he wants us. You know, I think we just need to have willing hearts and to be faithful to pray and to submit to his will, even when it terrifies you.
Yeah, I think God's given us this experience and this knowledge and these years of doing this and working at being good at this, which, I mean, we still have lots of work to do in many areas, but, you know, I think he's done that for a reason. And I think we both have a hard time seeing ourselves just never being involved in adoption and foster care and embryo adoption again. I just don't think that's going to happen, you know, in some ways and capacity. It may not be as adoptive parents or foster parents, but maybe in writing or teaching or speaking or something along those lines, it's something that we're hoping to continue to be involved in that world.
We can come along other foster families, you know, and help them in ways that we were like, oh, I wish we had this or this or this. Yeah. And then we can be the people who come in and actually do that.
I can't wait to see what the road ahead looks like for you two. We anticipate the birth of your son, and I'm so glad that you decided to end this conversation on bringing up the tremendous opportunity that the church has to be the hands and feet of Jesus to so many families now with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which, yes, we all celebrate a wonderful historic milestone, and it's great that so many lives will now be lived in this country that would not have been otherwise. Definitely creates opportunity for the church, and that is a wonderful takeaway for everybody. Jason and Jen, thank you so much. We want to thank you for listening and watching. If you want more information about the National Embryo Donation Center, you can find us at embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.